get into Gate, episode 251, talking Stargate SG-1. We are back, down decompressed after a mammoth milestone, if you will, episode 250.
A flagellus.
I mean, only a milestone episode like 250 could handle the vocabulary that included the word
flagellus.
That's not a soundbite, but now that you've said it cleanly, we absolutely can use that.
And coronal mass ejection.
That's a good one.
This is my radio announcer voice. I will be doing this episode as a radio announcer.
Thank you, Maddie. And Brennan, hi.
Back to you, Mitchell.
As well. The less so flagellus fan, but you know, you've got...
I love me a flagellus.
You've got interest in other areas.
He loves the flap in a salad.
I like the flip when it gets harder, though. Not just...
You just flick it a couple of times and, you know.
Enlarged clit. What? moving on. We are here back talking some SG-1. It's a heavy Carter episode, dare we say, and I don't know what that means, if it is true or how I'm summing it up, how Maddie will feel about it or how we should feel about it. There But For the Grace of God Part 2 or 2.0.
Well, it's interesting. I call it Arthur's Mantle 2.0.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess so.
I mean, last week, big episode, 250th episode of the podcast.
Yep.
This episode, big episode for Amanda Tapping. Amanda Tapping's 200th Stargate episode.
Wow. Mm. And where would we... Mm. How long has it been since the 200th now? So how many did she even...
Well, she took those, like six off at the start of the season.
She's having a bull. Yeah. So not a lot. The Road Not Taken, let's read the old synopsis from the great people. And please, you know, get some work on some new bloody Stargate.
Bezos.
Amazon. Yeah. Bezos, we know you'd be
a fan.
They
released Fallout first season.
Yep.
And, get onto Stargate, please. Because it's a, what does it say? It's Amazon MGM Studios.
Mm. So you got your own thing going, guys. Come on. You bought it as an IP, guys.
Let's do it.
An experiment goes wrong, leaving Lieutenant Colonel Samantha Carter trapped in a parallel reality where martial law has been enforced and Earth is under attack from the Ori. Also starring Ben Browder, Christopher Judge, and Michael Shanks. Shanksy's not in it. Oh, my God.
Judge has one scene.
I skipped where they said Lieutenant Colonel Samantha Carter. Amanda Tapping. I'm not reading names anymore, but I didn't look ahead. So also,
just in case.
Laundry's a dickhead president, you know, or something like
that. You could have just stopped at Laundry's a dickhead.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, here we were talking.
That's true in any universe.
The other week, it's like, God damn, this guy, what a great leader. What a fantastic leader. Not. Where does he rank in our favorite leaders of the base? And here we go. It's like, oh, by the way, he president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a Kinsey level president in this universe.
Yeah. So you mentioned that it was Amanda Tapping's 200th, and this is General Hammond's last episode of this series.
Yeah. Final episode of any Stargate. He actually, passed away about 18 months after this episode aired in real life. Yeah.
How many?
18 months.
Jesus.
Yeah. This aired, January of 07. He passed away in June 08.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not to bring it down.
But... I mean... Yeah, we've only got a handful of episodes left, but still, it's like, oh, this is his last one. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's good to see him, though. I'm glad they got him back for this. Given that he only lasted another 18 months, I'm glad they got him back.
Yeah, this is so good. It was so good watching him as old school General Hammond. Yeah.
And that's a great thing, I guess.
And taking advice from Sam.
Yeah.
Whereas Laundry didn't. Again.
Here I was saying the other week with the SGA's Return Part 1 and 2 that, I said, look, if O'Neill, I thought that was a good out. If O'Neill never showed up again, that was a good farewell to him, even though it wasn't his show. Whereas here, Don S. Davis showing up as a different Hammond. So it's like his final showing in Stargate or the series is... as an alternate Hammond? Oh, that sucks. But he was still, I felt like every... Even when he was arguing with Carter about the way things are and you just don't understand, that's what our Hammond would do. Going, hey, we've got people we need to answer to. You don't necessarily have all the information. But also, by the end of it, was like, hang on, we promised her that we would let her go. Like, he was he was the only one that didn't feel like an alternate whatever than anybody else that featured this show that carries over from the other one. So that was good for him. And just great to see, hear his voice again. And it felt like there hadn't been that much time passed since the last time we saw him. So
And his performance was he hadn't left.
Yeah.
It was last season. It was during the Fourth Horseman. But that was so brief.
Yeah,
he barely got a line in that. They kind of just, and it's funny, they kind of, that when he appeared in The Fourth Horseman, that was supposed to be like they were going to get the real life head of the Air Force in or whatever to do that. Yeah. He became unavailable. In this episode, I don't know if he was originally planned on being there, because originally they were going to get President Hayes back in, like our unit.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going to be president. So I would imagine Landry was going to just be General Landry again. Mm. So there would have been nowhere for Hammond to be. So I kind of, it's almost kind of, yeah, it's like a kismet meant to be kind of thing that President Hayes Act was unavailable. So they decided to move Landry up to be a dark president, which meant they could get Hammond back in. And he just obviously just went, yeah, of course I'll come and play with you guys.
That was amazing. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah.
Choice. Of
what I didn't like is I feel like we spent the first half of the episode with him and Lorne, and then they both just kind of disappear and aren't in the second half of the episode at all. They just like Carter just has that sort of little moment where she puts Hammond in her place and walks off, and that's the last time we see him. It's a good moment. It's a great scene, and Carter gives a great little speech with some social commentary. But from then on, it's kind of just her versus Landry, I feel like.
Yeah.
And then Rodney's introduced, and it's all just that sort of stuff. And Lieutenant Cam, as I like to call him, that we had seen with Cam Mitchell doing his best Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently Fourth of July.
Yeah, but apparently he was more inspired by, Born on the 4th of July. But I just went, that's Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Lieutenant Dan was based on the Tom Hanks character as well.
Yeah, slightly. Probably.
Tom Cruise, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I said Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I didn't even click when you said that.
It was funny, like, just on the president thing, when they first mentioned him, they're like, I need to talk to the president. He's busy. No, he's going to want to hear this. And then they kept talking. We're going to see the president. Going to see the president. I'm like, I don't remember O'Neill being president at any point, but is that where we're going? Like, that would have been very... I mean, you couldn't have... I don't think you could have a dark President Jack O'Neill. It would have just been different on all fronts.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Hey, maybe I could talk to Daniel. Is he here?
Dr. Jackson was captured by the forces of the URI several weeks ago.
Okay. What about Colonel Mitchell? Cameron Mitchell?
When 302 pilot went down over Antarctica?
That's right. Is he here?
I have no idea where he is. The last I heard, he quit the military.
Teal'c. Vala.
Teal'c went back to the Jaffa several years ago, and if you're talking about Vala Maldoran, I hate to break it to you, but she is currently occupying a cell at Area 51. Care to take a stab at anyone else?
Anyone? Anyone else that she would
Jack
ask about?
O'Neil.
At least let me see the surveillance footage from her.
No, she's run out of names.
Now, apologies to 3-star, but I glanced away for the briefest of seconds when she looked at that photo, and she's like, hey, I'm wearing a wedding ring.
Mm.
She's like, oh, yeah. Now, who is she in the photo with?
With him.
It was with O'Neill?
No,
the photo
with Lorne, wasn't it?
Oh, is that why he's like, oh, no. See, because I looked away, she's like, I'm waiting. Oh, yeah, you were married. And she's like, with, and I thought.
Oh, the divorce. Maybe they did. Oh, no, sorry.
She was married to McKay. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking was McKay, maybe they did, maybe it was
divorce.
Them.
I got the vibe that, after the divorce, those two had, like Lorne and Carter had a little something or other after she divorced McKay. But yeah, I just found it weird that Carter runs through that entire list, including Vala.
Yeah.
Not even who?
Doesn't, yeah.
Or like Teal'c, who? Because they didn't know about Atlantis.
Yeah, so we'll get to that a little bit later, but it's because I want to just talk about the O'Neill thing.
Oh, sorry.
The divergence point was Lost City. So the whole difference between this universe and our universe is Lost City happened exactly the same, but then this universe made the Stargate program public, but everything else still had to happen. Vala had to come because they were fighting the Ori as well. So Vala and Daniel still had to come and go and do the whole Ori thing and let the Ori know that we're here. So it was very weird, and the commentary gets into that a little bit.
Or even to get to the point where he was taken by the Ori several weeks ago, and it's like, holy shit, that's so like up until that moment, whereas so much other stuff,
yeah. But I just found it weird that like Carter ran off that entire list, and not once said General O'Neill.
Very strange.
Like they couldn't even write a line to say, well, no, he was killed. He was killed in action, you know, or he could have been killed
in
during
Heroes
Lost City.
Or whatever. Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Or he's still in Antarctica in Frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Fucking that would have been spot on. Yeah. Bang, done.
My color?
Yeah. I just found it weird that, Yeah, she didn't ask for him.
They did that. They do that a lot. Remember Ripple Effect? They didn't have Jack in it at all on one team, and it was a lot of Ben Browder.
I mean, but I understand that with, you know, Richard Dennison physically not being available.
Mm.
But it's like, at least give us a line in this episode as to why she didn't ask for him. Given that, and I forgot to mention
it. I feel like they're trying to forget O'Neill for like the part-time users, so that they didn't part-time viewers, so they didn't get confused.
Which is weird, given that he just did a two episode stint on Atlantis.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention it 2 weeks ago in Line in the Sand. There's that whole part where when Carter's dying, she's, got into my personal database and I've got letters to Daniel, letters to my brother, letters to other people. And then she goes, the password is phishing. Like, there's all that heavy-handed stuff in Line in the Sand. But in here, she didn't
That's
even...
That's a programmer term.
But in here, she didn't even ask for O'Neill, and I just found that really like sloppy. Fucking, you nailed it. You hit it out of the park just then. We're going. He's still frozen down in Antarctica.
Yeah, we can't revive him.
Yeah, that would have been fucking perfect.
Yeah,
because the program went public, so you know the whole thing with Weir and all that kind of stuff, you know, didn't happen.
Yeah,
and you know that all stuff happened differently. And
maybe Landry was the general of SGC, and then because it was martial law, he's number one.
But, I mean, Hammond is still there, so you could almost say, like...
It's like they brought him back
Hammond left at the end of Lost City.
Yeah.
And then Jack became the general. So it's like, what happened at that point? So him being frozen in Antarctica would have been just a perfect bow. And you're like, great. And then Hammond stayed in command, and then Landry never got command of the SGC and somehow got promoted to... president instead when martial law and stuff came in.
See, like, I think maybe it was only in my head where I was thinking Laundrie was the Stargate, the SGC general. And then he decided, once martial law got taken over in a way, it was like, well, you're in charge of the Stargate program, which is like the most important, so let's make you the leader of Earth.
I guess maybe in the way that like after O'Neill left the SGC, he became like the general in charge of Stargate operations in general, including Atlantis and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, in this universe, they never found Atlantis, so there's not much. But maybe it would have. He just jumped over Hammond, because it would be weird, I think, for Hammond to then leave for Landry to come in, and then Landry to get promoted so quickly, and then bring Hammond back in would be weird. You know, given that this episode and the last one is, you could almost do it as a two-parter, almost. You know what I mean? Like, it's two episodes based around Carter fucking around with Arthur's mantle.
Well, you said there that you would often skip these two episodes, right? And just go straight from the quest into...
The Shroud.
The Shroud, is it? Yeah.
Well, Arthur's mantle, that's the one where the Carter and Ben Browder go out of phase, right?
Yeah.
It was almost identical, the opening of those two episodes.
Yeah, that's why I call it Arthur's Mantle 2.0.
Yeah, because instead of staying there, he went up to the observation deck.
Yeah,
and if he'd have stayed there. I mean, I did like the moment where he bumped into the force field and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
In the audio commentary, they mentioned that for a minute they were considering recreating that thing from, was it Upgrades, where Jack runs into the force field at super speed
with
the cling wrap, and it kind of distorts his face. They were going to do that and have Browder bang into that, but they realized they would have had to have cut into that and then cut away, and you would have lost the physicality of it, so they just decided not to, and I think it all still worked.
Yeah.
It was a fun moment.
He's very physical.
Yeah, and then, you know, Sam, you know, not putting the little sign up, I thought was a great touch.
Very professional.
Yeah.
Like, she wouldn't have that constantly, do not enter.
Yeah.
It's just like an open or close sign for her.
Be like the on-air light above the studio door here.
Yeah.
It was a lot going on, though, to be like, oh, okay, so this is kind of almost a... What did they call the Cloverfield Lane movie? It was like a spiritual sequel or whatever it was, or a spiritual... This is like a spiritual cousin to like
a sidequel almost.
Yeah,
like,
McKay and Mrs. Miller, in that alternate Carter was doing that same experiment our universe Rodney was doing to pull energy out of a bunch of different universes to, you know, recharge a ZPM, and sucked through Rod. Rod came through to say, hey, you're fucking up our planet. Whereas in this one, it's like our Carter was the one that got sucked through into that universe and ended up killing her counterpart as it happened.
The main difference is they were just trying to suck all of the energy out of that one universe in in Mr. and Mrs. Miller, whereas this they were trying to
take lots
of different.
That's
ones,
right. I did like the touch where it's like they mentioned that like Sam, the only reason Sam, like our Sam survived is because she was within a force field.
Yeah.
And that's how Rod arrived to us using the personal shield.
Yeah.
Mm. And that was how he survived the trip into our universe over in Atlantis.
Yeah, right. So when she explains that to Rodney in this universe, he's like, oh, okay, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like they like kind of glossed over the death thing, because at the start it's like, oh, you're here, but where's ours? It's like, yeah, I don't know. Like I came in here and, oh, she was doing this and we thought there was like this fire, but then we, you know, or there should have been, but then we opened up and you're just sort of standing there.
And you get dressed and everything.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I wonder, oh, would she have been transported like just straight to yours? Ah, it's not how it works. It's like, oh, she could, it's like Sliders. She's just out there in an alternate universe out there somewhere, and
yeah,
who knows if we'll ever find her. Maybe she'll have to find her own way back. I'll go back to my world, and then maybe Carter will be back in like 15 years when she figures out how to do it. Oh, well. Mm. And then it was like not spoken about for 15 minutes. Then she goes to meet Rodney. And well, post meeting Rodney, because for the first scene, she pretended to be that Carter.
Yeah.
And the next time she comes back, she's like, look, I'm actually not her. Nah, you have to be. Look like her. She's dead.
Mm. What a weird. Yeah, like, oh, that was shit, a weird scene.
Oh,
how
right,
can she be a lesbian if she's dead?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. That's so. I'm not a huge thinker. Oh, you're gay. No, why was that? Why? No, I just wasn't into having sex with you for like a multitude of reasons.
That's classic Rodney in any universe. He's like, oh, if you don't want to have sex with me, you must be a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because I'm Rodney McKay.
I'm Rodney freaking McKay.
Yeah. There's no way I'm not everybody's type.
Yeah. Smartest man in Pegasus and Milky Way, according to Maddie.
Across multiple universes.
He's got extra penis in his brain.
Yeah.
Extra brain in his penis. Clearly I don't. Sure. Getting that wrong.
Apparently the episode started out as a very different concept, though.
It's interesting how the story came together, actually. I originally just pitched this idea. The original idea that I pitched Rob was that Carter is transferred to another reality, kills herself accidentally, and but it doesn't realize immediately because the reality is so close to our own, and then it takes a few acts for her to or a couple acts for her to realize that she's in the wrong reality, at which point they say, well, you're not going anywhere. But Rob correctly pointed out that why do an alternate reality story if the reality is so similar to our own? That, sure. You know, the fun of doing an alternate reality story is really to see differences right off the bat.
Right. Imagine her walking around. And it was the same for a while, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the president's come to see you. She's like, oh, great. And then Landry walks in, she's like, all right, what joke is this?
Yeah.
Like, that would have just been a bit of a trip. But then, yeah, then they have to catch up. Yeah, him, like, really? Like, on
really?
The, anyone. It could have been anyone.
Mr. Angry? Yeah. Really?
I mean, I know the US is currently going through it. It's like, so Biden or Trump, like, those are your only two options.
Again? Yeah.
Again, those
again.
Are like
again
in 8 years.
And now
years,
they're both just
these
older.
Are the only two humans of age. Because I'm sure there's some smart enough kids that could probably do it. But like over 18 or 21, these. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Great.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
If only we'd gone with old mate. Who was the other guy that didn't make Bernie?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was saying he was too old.
Larry David.
Yeah.
Larry David.
Well, Curb's over. He probably could. He could do that as a gag, Larry David. Just pretend he's Bernie Sanders now and run for president again.
Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't gone on SNL and done that.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Excellent.
In the jacket where he said they're being cold or some
and
shit.
And Jim Carrey was doing Biden.
Oh, that's right. I did see that.
I don't think I ever saw that.
And then they had old mate do Trump.
Baldwin.
Old
Shooty McGee.
Shooter McGavin.
Old Shooter.
Shooter. There's some real meta casting for that Happy Gilmore 2 that they're making, and they cast Alec Baldwin as Shooter McGavin.
Maybe they should do like a hockey game against each other.
Yes.
Or fight each other.
Yeah, just something. Put it on pay-per-view.
Not golf.
Yeah.
I already kicked your ass at golf. And it turns out Shooter's a magnificent figure skater. He just skates rings around Happy Gilmore.
He's a great shooter, but he can't skate. Like, it's just, because that was always the go, right? He couldn't skate properly.
Yeah, he couldn't skate.
Yeah.
He's the first guy to ever take a skate off and try to stab somebody.
So that guy from Mighty Ducks, the speed skater, doesn't know how to stop.
Yeah.
He just, like, crashes into shit. That's what they need in that movie. They need Emilio Estevez to come in and teach him how to skate.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I actually have zero memory of this episode apart from the dress.
You are a simple creature.
I need a pig sound effect.
Meanwhile, I wish they...
Yeah, yeah, that would be great.
I wish...
Meanwhile, I sent you
they
pictures...
They did this in season three of this episode.
I sent you a picture yesterday of, like, Amanda Tapping. It showed up on friggin' a Facebook page. Amanda Tapping in, like, a hot pink cowgirl outfit.
Yeah, baby.
Crickets. Not a single one of you fucking reacted to it.
Oh, sorry.
And meanwhile,
thank you.
Carter in a generic dress at a cocktail party, and you're like,
humming. It was on my 86 screen inch screen. Side boob. Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
We are but simple, man.
86 inch screen with your 8/6 of an inch dick, just hard as a rock.
8/6 of an inch, yes.
Yeah.
Hang on. Conversion.com. Yeah, we work in centimeters, but that seems right.
I talked about it in Line in the Sand, where I wasn't like a huge fan of Carter fucking with the Arthur's mental technology to like.
I was like, who's she fucking?
Well, Rodney, obviously, and maybe a lesbian. Who knows?
Yeah, nice.
Like taking the whole town out of phase. Taking the whole planet out of phase was just...
The town one didn't work last week.
Yeah.
And now you're doing the planet?
Yeah. It just, the line...
With just 80% of the power across the United States.
Of the continental United States being funneled to Antarctica?
Yeah. Yeah, they got a couple of cables.
But we diverted it to the SGC.
Yeah.
Because that's how wiring works.
Yeah, you can just flip the switch.
Because there's obviously just a wire running from the continental United States to Antarctica.
Mate,
to power the chair.
It's a different universe. Like, Landry's president here, man. Their electrics were
Marshall
different.
Law. Yeah.
High-speed fiber optics.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I just, taking the whole planet out of phase is just...
It's stupid.
A line too far. Like,
it was dumber than flying the cargo ship through the planet.
Oh, 1,000%. I loved flying the cargo ship through the planet. That was fantastic.
With the asteroid connected.
Yeah. If you think about it, now, that was Merlin's device, right?
Yeah.
He created a device that can kill ascended ancients. The most powerful weapon in the entire known universe, the Sun Graal. He has to hide that from other ascended ancients. He goes, all I need is a keyboard that creates a field about the size of a room for me to hide my research.
Mm-hmm.
Carter goes, let's fucking put some 22s on it and a V8. And you know what? We're going to make an entire fucking planet disappear.
Hell yeah.
Don't you think that if...
At only 90% 93% of the power that we thought we needed.
Yeah, it'll just the continental United States.
It'll have to do.
Yeah. So if we can't create ZPM level power...
But indefinitely.
To... We can't create ZPM level power to make a 5-second connection to the Atlantis, Atlantis. But we've got enough power just from the United States power grid to take our entire planet out of phase using ancient technology. Don't you think if that was necessary, Merlin would have thought of it? And Merlin could have just hid an entire planet. To do his research.
He had heaps of shit.
To create the Sun Graal, to hide it from fucking omnipotent beings who can call down lightning strikes. You know what I mean?
That's what I just find
it
strange.
It just seems like overkill.
I find it strange that doing that, the Ori can't beat it. Why not?
Yet, the ancient / Ori gave that in wristband form to the Sodan.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
The whole cloaking thing of these two series, I don't like.
Yeah.
You got Toman running. He's in the control ship. He saw a planet disappear and went, job's done, boys. Let's go.
Yeah.
Didn't double check.
And now, correct.
Must be gone. Yeah. We can't sense like the gravity forces are still there and stuff like that.
They're hidden. Gravity forces are definitely. What I would have liked is when they said, all the Ori ships are, separating and moving around the planet. I'm like, that's good. Like, they're obviously, trying to destroy Area 51. But I would have liked if they're going to, I'm sure one of their ships could have destroyed Area 51 on its own. Otherwise, just send the ships around and all aim at the planet and destroy the planet, right?
Yeah.
With their big beams. I would have loved for, them to have shot, they go, and they make the planet disappear and they just end up, all
shooting
killing each
other.
Pegasus Project.
Yeah,
that would have been cooler. And that could have been the big finale for the episode. But that, the Ori thing almost kind of, happened halfway through the episode. And the rest of the episode was her just arguing with Mr. Angry.
Mm.
Yeah, and like you've been there for a day, mate. You can't get involved in politics.
Yeah, she goes on TV. She's like, you know what's wrong with this planet and the country? It's like, well, hey, I know we like to take America and try to Americanize like other planets in your universe, but like also kind of shut up a little bit. Like listen to Hammond where he's like, you don't understand how bad things got, you know?
It was crazy. It actually was crazy. It's amazing what Landry did.
And like,
and yeah, I get it. You don't like his eyebrows.
Yeah.
But that get over it.
That would be a massive way that this show could change. They bring it back on Amazon, and what's one way to really blow things open? Have the SGC or the Stargate program, the knowledge of aliens, be a public thing. But it's almost too limitless that how that would change the storytelling. Like you couldn't just have that happen and like after three or four episodes just go back to exploration of the week.
Yeah.
And pretend like the rest of the planet isn't. Because, I mean, that would absolutely... Why wouldn't every other planet be like, you've got alien tech... Sorry, what? You've got that shit? And, like, everyone running around, the sky's falling, like, they're coming to destroy us. Everyone's... Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, we sent an email around.
Yeah.
Or something. Did you not get it?
I think if they did a new Stargate... Where do you think
your iPhone came from, bro?
I think if they did a new Stargate show, I would almost want it to be... almost like a 2010 style thing where it's like, yeah, like you can just, there's a small coalition of like,
we've moved past like people going,
the discovery and the reaction. We've all accepted it there, you know, and we live in this little coalition where it's like, yeah, sure. You can't just go to any planet you want, but it's like, you know, you can travel to, I guess not Dakar anymore. You can travel to the Jafar, wherever the Jafar are hanging out. You can go and hang out with the Nox or whatever. And we've got this small group of things and we can have other conflicts, but it's, yeah, I think, I'd hate to think that, you know, 20 years later, we're still, like, the SGC is still hiding it from the general population, given that at this point, like, even just now, we have every single person involved in the SGC that knows about it, every single person on Atlantis that knows about it.
Mm.
By the time Universe comes around, there's everybody involved in Universe that knows about the
existence. You got disgruntled employees from Atlantis.
There's got to be people that have been fired by that. Yeah, fucking Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh's yapping down the bar like fucking Jake Gyllenhaal in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, what a great reference. I get what he's going for. He's angry at his old boss. He would absolutely like try and tear the institution down.
Oh, yeah, he's just, you know, yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. And they never seem to explain how Sam actually gets back in the end. She's like, oh.
Yes, that was so annoying.
So
because it was impossible, right? Because
she has a phone call with Dr. Lee.
Yeah.
And he says there is no way to recreate the experiment without being able to control both sides of the wormhole.
Yeah.
Bill, tell me you have good news.
The preliminary simulations were a bust. There's just no way we can replicate the conditions that originally brought you here. Not unless we can control the environment on both sides of the bridge.
All right, I'll be back tomorrow. We can go over it then.
She figured it out.
Pointed themselves. Well, what would have been really nice is for our Dr. Lee to think what might have happened potentially and then create the scenario in Carter's lab for her to return.
Oh, our Dr. Lee in our thing. Doctor,
just thinking out of the box. All right, all we have to do is this.
If we set this up for Carter, it gives her the opportunity to get
home.
We'll give her the Lincoln logs, but she's got to build the cabin.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think it'll be a very Lee thing to do if when our Carter
or
got
even
back,
by mistake.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
He's figuring out how far she got on tiny legs.
Yeah. He would come in and go, whoa, I couldn't think of anything, so I just set up exactly what you had done, and while I was trying to figure out what to do next, you returned. Like, that would be a
very... Well, you saved the day, Bill, by being a fucktard.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a very Dr. Lee thing to do.
Yeah.
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 No, I loved it. Because, it's kind of just like she has the big conversation with President Angry. He basically says, fuck off. You are so, like, ineffectual. You will do what I tell... And then the next scene is her walking... with guards walking her into like the lab, and alternate Rodney's there going, oh, by the way, thanks. You told them that alternate me could do this thing that the dead you was trying to do. Now they've basically forced me into doing it. She's like, well, with your help, I can get home. Okay. I'm like, that's such a weak ass ending. Mm. There's even like a weird, it's Rodney that actually says that Angry's decided to let her go.
Well, the first order of business is to create an inter-universal bridge, something that I've done in another reality, apparently.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you said, but they're letting you go.
Wow. I guess I must have realized I'm more trouble than I'm worth.
Remember I said the same thing the day we got divorced.
And then, yeah, off screen, they just figure out a way to get her home.
Yeah.
It's a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
Like so something simple like that would, it actually would have taken less time for them to explain it by Lee setting up the conditions for her to return.
Yeah.
Because there's going by everything that we were given through that episode, she can't be back.
Yeah, Bill literally says it. Unless we can control both sides, there's no way. Because even in McKay and Mrs. Miller, Rod says that. I knew I was going to do it one way. And then Rodney figured out a way. But it's like that was the whole episode, is them figuring out a way to make it. They needed two McKays and a Miller to make it all happen. And then like this other like tech, you know, fucking Elon Musk McKay. He's just like, well, you told them an alternate version of me could do it, so now I have to figure out a way to do it. Yeah. Thanks.
You realize when they call him a dot-com millionaire, it's weird how many, like, technically Elon Musk was a dot-com millionaire, but we don't think of him like that anymore.
Because he's a dot-com billionaire.
Well, remember back then it was kind of like he did it the easy way. Remember it was like submissive?
I didn't think it was easy way. It was like, one of those dot-com. It's not something that's going to last.
Yeah.
It's a fad. He's a dot-com millionaire.
Kind of like
it's
what crypto is at the moment.
It's going to melt down in a couple of years and he'll be poor again and it'll be fine. Yeah. And next minute he's a billionaire.
And like Bezos is the same thing. These guys are so hitting heavy.
Yeah. That's like Taylor Swift, she's just a pop star billionaire.
You know that's not a thing though.
She'll piss it all up the wall. She'll be fine.
Yeah, she's not
by the
one
time
of
she's
the
Madonna's
many.
Age, she'll be destitute. No. That's
no,
not how
she
it works.
She charges her fans crazy, man. It's funny.
And you hear that, guys? Like Maddie can be objective.
Absolutely.
You know?
She's a fantastic businesswoman.
Yes.
She's a very creative songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think she sings very well.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's what it.
Yeah. I don't think, I would say, and, look, controversial yet brave, I think Katy Perry is a better vocalist.
Than what Taylor Swift is.
I'm
not arguing, I love Katy Perry.
But Taylor Swift is a much better songwriter. Taylor Swift can write a song. She's like, I'm heartbroken, bang. She can write that 800 different ways.
And she has.
I used to have a boyfriend and now I don't, is basically every single one of her songs. She's made billions of it. So yeah, as a businesswoman, she's incredible.
Yeah, well, like Brendan said, she charges an absolute maltzer.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the last 12 months, right? Selling out stadiums, then released a
not
documentary.
Not only that, the ticket prices are outrageous.
Yeah. And then for a city like us, she didn't come to our city when she came to Australia. So they said the economy in Sydney and Melbourne over those two weekends was so, like, the boost that it received of people flying in, staying at their hotels.
Oh my god,
incredible!
I would love every Swiftie to just go back and watch the Josie the Pussycats movie, and then just look at yourselves and take a step back.
Okay, interesting.
What is that?
Josie the Pussycats movie,
2001.
Oh, so good. Tara Reid, Rachel Lee Cook, and Rosario Dawson.
Oh yeah, it was Rosario.
Yeah.
God damn.
That's what surprised the other week when you were talking about Rachel Lee Cook. You're like, yeah. And I was like, no mention of Rosario Dawson.
No, I probably did because I've seen posters of that movie since then. I'm like, yeah, she was still like very attractive then. But I think at the time, I would have been, 15 in 2001? I was very much, Rachel Lee Cook was very much my type.
Oh, she looked great at that. No, I think you like her. It's like, it's just this real subtle social commentary about just like the brainwashing that like pop culture does on people. You know, and you stamp a brand on something and people will just buy it.
Yeah.
Well, and we're literally brainwashed.
Literally.
It's really good. But Jason and the Pussycats is like, they live in the Scooby-Doo and Sabrina universe. Riverdale and Sabrina universe.
Oh, yeah. It was an old cartoon.
From the comic book. Yeah. But they're like a little band, like a three-piece rock band.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I think you'll like it. It's good.
Yeah,
very 2000s.
That Swift thing, I just couldn't get, you're selling all those concerts, people are buying tickets, and, or they've seen the show, and then you release a movie that's a documentary. It's just a concert. I didn't think it was a documentary. It was just a concert movie.
Yeah.
So you could go and pay to watch the same concert again, just from a closer vantage point. And then if you're in Australia, then you would go and watch the concert from a poorer vantage point that you went and paid to see at the cinema. And then they released on Disney Plus the concert, it was the Taylor's version of the same concert. You know what? It had four extra songs. Mm. So it's already a 2.5-3 hour documentary or a movie on the concert, but then you would go and watch it again, okay, for free on Disney, but still.
On top of all the money, like, everyone spent to have to travel to the places that she performed she does a worldwide tour and then comes to two cities in Australia.
And then it's April,
because the stadiums aren't big enough.
Yeah. And that's what the Olympics for the money would hopefully be fixing. But we've got a lot of controversy going on here.
Why
in Brisbane?
Go to Brisbane when you can do three Melbourne shows?
Yeah.
But she only did one, didn't she?
No, she did like three or four. Oh, right. You know, might have three in Melbourne, four in Sydney.
She's played Brisbane before.
Before when she wasn't as big.
She's played Suncorp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
mate, she played Hamilton. Suncorp's not, I think she played Hamilton Island. We flew our
Linda Hamilton Island.
Yeah. Red Room from our radio company is like an intimate set. We'd have a concert where you'd only invite 40 people. And then we've had like a Red Room at the Opera House where we had Ed Sheeran fly out and play in front of, 2,000 or whatever it might have been. But then we had like a handful of people where we sent you up to Hamilton Island to watch like the most intimate Taylor Swift gig. But that was when she was like, oh, she's got a couple of good songs. Yeah. I love Love Story. Now it's like she's the biggest fucking superstar on the planet. You can't touch that woman. But great business. Yeah, great business.
We digress.
Woman. Yeah, billions.
She's getting way too much airtime.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. Some of it's been cut out. Most of it, perhaps.
That's fine. Because I would say in the last couple of months, I would say Taylor Swift's got more airtime in this podcast than Star Trek has, and that I will not stand for.
There's got to be a bit from one of her songs going, that's one. She's counting the reasons why she hates Jake Gyllenhaal or some shit. I don't know.
I'm Team Jake.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
And I'm Team Harry.
Yeah. Please.
Not me. Those blokes are pigs.
Yeah.
There is a goof in this.
God, you've gone woke.
There's a goof in the continuity in the alternate reality.
Send it.
We have the external shot of Cameron Mitchell's building. He's stuck in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
Is there no wheelchair access to
this? There's no wheelchair access.
Oh, fuck. It's a three-story walk-up.
That's what the government did.
That's why he's so dirty and greasy out there. He can't get out and shower. That was such a weird scene.
It didn't make sense.
It didn't further the plot.
No, at all.
Well,
it was what freedom looks like.
It was what changed her mind to play ball.
No, but yeah, but then she goes, I'll play ball, but then she didn't play ball.
But she didn't play ball.
No, but I thought she used that because she knew the guy, the Secret Service guy, where are you? She goes, you know exactly where I am, please.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to play ball now. He's like, good idea. I think she went there to have a chat with Cam to convince them that whether or not she knew that Cameron had done the same thing already, or she just went to see him
to
try and get some kind of familiarity. And then through that meeting went, oh, I need to tell them that I will do it so that I can get in a public situation like they put her in because they fell for it and they needed her to do a sit thing. And, they cut her off live.
When did she have the punch on in the car park then? I thought that was when she left Lieutenant Cam.
No, because when she left Cam, she immediately walked down the stairs, not the ramp, and called up the Secret Service guy and said, I'll play ball, and then it cut to the next scene, which I think was the television studio. So the punch on after, I think, was...
Maybe she was leaving the television studio, and that's when they picked her up.
Like, Landry, is the gag really necessary? And they're like, oh, you have no idea. She would not shut up.
Yeah. Just silencing women, that's how you know it's a bad
She was
unit,
spoiling all necessary. Of our favourite shows.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're three episodes ahead on her earth.
What's really funny though is when they filmed that, there was just like just generic public crowds in there because they were out on location, and it was a very humbling experience for them.
But there is a whole crazy crowd of people watching.
Yeah.
And they're all lined up against the library. This woman comes up to me and she goes, what are you shooting? And I said, an episode of Stargate SG-1. And she goes, oh, where's the actor?
Yeah.
And I said, that'd be me. She's like, who are the others?
That was very funny. I remember you telling me about that.
People wonder why our cast is so humble.
That's funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I think, like...
Not even in Canada.
Yeah.
Not even in Canada.
Film there.
Yeah. Lincoln, who's my brother, been on the show. If you're new to the podcast or something, whatever, he's an actor. And I've seen like him walk around or he goes to somewhere in public, whatever, and someone will come up to him because other people are getting photos with him. Someone will come up and say, oh, what are you like? Can I get a photo? And then they'll get a photo with him and then they'll ask him what he does.
Oh, God.
So they just like, it's that
some
shit.
Some people are.
They absolutely are. And they'll.
Capital.
They'll,
like hard R, capital.
Yeah, like real. Like I'm not even talking.
Super.
Ability, just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like even the NDIS is like, oh, I don't know if we can help you.
There's not enough funding.
Yeah,
in the
we
world.
Don't. We don't have enough budget for that.
You can't whatever, fix stupid.
Whatever, yeah, whatever you've okay. got.
Yeah.
There are
people
budget.
That need our help. Yeah. You're just.
Yeah, you're not. You're just a mouth breather.
God, I love that term. So good.
I don't because I have a blocked nose. All the
oh
time.
No!
So when I go to sleep, I'm literally. A
I've
mouth
got a
breather.
Mad deviated septum, mate, and polyps and all kinds of shit. I would breathe through my mouth at night.
That's a medical know? Condition.
Mm. It is. Yes.
The mouth breather is just.
So.
No, yeah. But they're not. They're no. not like medically.
No.
Oh, they're socially.
No,
they're functionally.
Yeah. Softer, yeah. not a harder.
Oh,
like
okay.
you said. Yeah.
I'd
liked Lorne as SG-1 leader. I feel like they really yeah. missed out on like an SG-2 counter team or like, you know, where you need backup, they go, oh, send the Marines. It's like, bring SG-2. Like, it would be nicer if we had known SG-2. If Lorne was head of SG-2, that would have been nice. Or someone
well,
like that.
I think the point is the reason Carter, like, Lorne's over on Atlantis. I think that's the only reason they brought him in is because it's like, she was like, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be in the Pegasus Galaxy.
Yeah. No, I get that. But what I was just saying is...
Why did it have to be SG-1?
I liked the chemistry between him being the leader of SG-1, which in my head is just a secondary team anyway. So if he was in charge of SG-2 and then he was the backup for the team, what I'm saying is it would have been nicer for them to have a secondary team where you get to know the characters more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In like the earlier seasons.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
I guess
Kowalski's
in a way,
team would have been more involved if he didn't die.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and we don't. I think what Reynolds is the leader of what SG-2 or SG-3, like that, the Marine unit or whatever. They're the ones that came and helped with the Sodan, but he's been in like 3 episodes. I feel like they kind of do what you're saying with Lorne in Atlantis, kind of like because he is kind of like the
SGA
or whatever it was.
Away team 2.
Away team 2 for Atlantis, yeah.
The Reynolds thing is interesting because, I mean, obviously the Lorne thing works because you want to bring him, you want to keep him on Earth because he never went to Atlantis. But the Reynolds, like, if he's the like Marine style.
I can't even picture him. Is he the guy with the massive chin?
Reynolds. He was the one that started it at Area 51 back in like season 4 and then they gave him
where Teal'c said he'd rip his dick off.
Yeah, and then they're the ones that wear camo, but then they wear the tan boots. The tan boots all the time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if he was the leader of SG-1 because of the martial law, because of how things had changed, and they were much more of a, like, it was much more of a war scenario over the last couple of years on this Earth, that they'd taken their military leader, Marine type, all action SG number 3, they've taken that leader and put him into SG-1 because, no, this isn't just an exploratory sort of unit with science people like your Jackson, like your Carter. We need someone who's going to actually go there. Like a Stargate movie, Jack O'Neill. You're there to detonate the bomb.
One L O'Neill.
You're there to detonate the bomb and sacrifice yourself. You're not over there to negotiate. You're there to kill some motherfuckers. Mm. So, but the Lorne thing obviously works because it, feeds into the idea that Atlantis was never discovered. So
I don't know what it is. I just like that character. I feel like you...
Lorne. Yeah. I like it. Amanda Tapping was apparently very taken with him in the audio comedy. She's like, he's just so attractive. Just out of nowhere. She's like, oh, he's so good to look at. I was like, okay, calm down, love.
Right in a kiss.
You got a husband and a kid at home. Relax.
he's a bit short, isn't he?
What I did like about this episode is the production, and you're like, the whatever old mate was, double dotted or whatever, that says we hate on the show too much. Even the people who make the show are making the same kind of comments we were making.
Yeah,
with the whole clit thing, love.
The clit,
like
the clit thing, the dragon during the quest.
Yeah.
Case in point for me was the quest. Remember with the dragon that we did for the quest?
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
Was, Imagining dragon to be about 500 times bigger than what I actually ended up being in the show.
It was more like a dragonfly.
It was a dragon. That's exactly what Sam, my son, he look, it's a dragonfly.
Yeah, instead they had that big...
Andy Makita's son is even saying, Dad, that dragon on your show was shit.
Is that kid white?
Oh, Andy Makita is, so 100%.
White fucking hate.
Just white hate. Just 8-year-old white hate.
Yeah. Because, you know, like in Game of Thrones, you've seen dragons. You're like, oh, they're big. And then you've
seen wyverns, actually.
Sorry, yes, I'm so sorry. Oh,
we've explained this.
To the wyvern community.
You've been explained this.
Then the wyverns on House of the Dragon, where that big fucker shows up towards the end.
Yeah,
and
it
dwarfs the other dragons.
Still not a dragon.
Sorry, wyvern. It dwarfs other ones.
House of Wyverns, obviously, is the name of the show.
Yeah.
You imagine, like, between the end of Game of Thrones and the start of House of the Dragon, that they had actually had to come out and apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry, they're actually wyverns. And they had to rename the show and change the entire backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Not to put that this is a fantasy and that in this world, wyverns are actually called dragons. Doesn't matter.
They go back in the same way they had to paint out the guy in the jeans and the coffee cup and all that kind of stuff. They go back and digitally alter every single scene where it's Khaleesi going, "Where are my wyverns?
Yeah. Where are my
wyverns?
I am the mother of wyverns."
Wyverns.
Oh, God. Hey, I hate to bring it up, but I'm going to anyway. There was a moment at the start of this episode with Carter, and I very much connected with her in this moment.
Tell me more.
Brennan's connected before.
It very much felt like... Anytime I'm in this room, it took me back to like 2010 when I'm trying to explain things poorly.
Yeah. At least he admitted it.
A couple of weeks ago when I was trying to explain simple things like carob.
Disgusting things.
Yeah.
They're actually not too bad.
It all right.
Yeah. I felt like Carter very much in this moment. I've experienced what Carter's experiencing.
Well, there you go.
No, this is different. Look, according to M theory, there are a fixed number of alternate dimensions existing in parallel with our known universe. The multiverse theory, on the other hand, posits the existence of an infinite number of alternate universes, each evolving concurrently with our own.
Well, is there a universe out there somewhere where you're giving me a straight answer?
If only we had that grab.
Yeah.
We could have used in 2010.
No, I feel you. I feel you, Carter. Just the sigh of exasperation at the end she had there just... And not a Martin Giro sigh, which was great.
It was a real sigh.
It was a real sigh that Amanda Tapping chose to put in herself, which was fantastic. And the other really upsetting part about this episode, just from a production point of view, this is another one of those weird episodes. It was shot in little chunks over like 4 months, this episode, just little bits and pieces here and there, to the point where that final scene with Amanda Tapping and what's the actor's name?
Lee.
David Hewlett. David Hewlett and Amanda Tapping, that final scene where they're in the lab, that was actually filmed on the very last day of shooting of Stargate ever. So Amanda Tapping had to shoot that scene,
really,
change outfits, and go and film the very, very last shot from Unending, which anyone who's seen the special features or knows, you know, the final episode of this series, what that shot was...
Ooh,
it was a very
remember.
Emotional day. It was a very emotional day for these people. Amanda Tapping's very last day of work ever. She had to film that last scene.
And then, after the Unending?
No, she filmed this went and filmed it. They scheduled it so with Unending, the very last shot of the final episode is the last thing they ever filmed on the show.
That's good.
But she had to basically, in her mind, go back to episode 13... of an alternate version Carter, like or Carter in an alternate reality talking to an alternate McKay that she was married to at some point that thinks she's a lesbian, then had to go and get a costume change and go and film the very, very last scene of Stargate that at the time they thought they would ever shoot because they didn't know about Arc of Truth or Continuum yet at that point.
Yeah, right.
That would be so rough. That would be so rough.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. Like, imagine if they had been done the dickish thing and be like, I'm so sorry because of, you know, light. You know, you got to film Unending first. And I don't remember what the light was. The last shot you talked, I remember the episode
enough. We'll get to it.
And I remember how sad it is and there's so many great moments.
The
But I don't remember the last shot, but still to have filmed that and then go, okay, now to go back and film episode 13 here.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything, but in the special features for Unending, during that last scene, they had to change some of the writing because Christopher Judge literally couldn't get out and indeed because he was crying so much.
Jesus.
They had to change the lineup so that he was at the back of the raking shot because you could see his eyes swelling and all the red around his eyes from crying. Like, they were so emotional to be, after 10 years, to be wrapping up this show.
Yeah. Mm.
Given that they were wrapping it
up.
He
was less emotional about 9/11. What a bastard.
I mean, he probably wouldn't cry nowadays. Now that he and Shanksy don't get along, he would have just been like, ah, it's fine.
Yeah, how weird.
Yeah.
I blame Shanksy.
Oh, no, I see. Michael Shanks is my man.
Ooh, racial.
Well, no, he's Canadian, so it's fine. That's I'm half American, so I can...
So you're racist.
I guess I'm a white American not siding with a black American, yeah, being Chris Judd. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm spot on.
Half racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our favourite. Accidentally racist and half racist. Good.
Excellent. And the Vala hug. The Vala hug.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like that.
That was improvised. That was something that Claudia Black brought to the... She just decided to do that. No one knew about it. She just decided to do it. And they went, yeah, we'll keep that in.
Mm.
I liked Amanda Tapping's reaction. But
Yeah, that was quite wholesome. I liked
the hug was nice. The run back. I didn't like the run back.
Yeah, the thing for me that was a bit was that we really did miss you, Samantha. I was like, you just give him the hug.
Yeah.
The hug was enough.
You didn't need to say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they spoke some real hard truths while she wasn't in the room.
Well, maybe it was just circling back to the whole lesbian thing.
Yeah, well, like, we never, you know, yeah, never found out who McKay thought that, yeah, she was.
Yeah, the deleted scene is, it's actually that whole scene just happened in McKay's head,
mm,
and that's when they start taking clothes off. And it becomes that scene from Avenger 2.0 where Carter and that little blonde scientist start wrestling, and then McKay and Felger are just sitting there watching it. O'Neill and McKay, O'Neill and Felger are sitting there just watching it.
I mean, speaking of Maddie, you've got this just unlabeled.
How can I help you?
Well, this is going to come as a bit of a shock, but I'm not who you think I am.
Oh my God, you're a lesbian. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
What? No, McKay.
Well, no, because I thought...
Very good.
It's funny how she's calling him McKay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been... At first she says, hi, Rodney. Thanks for seeing me.
Mm.
And I'm like, that seems...
Yeah. Like,
she's trying to...
She dropped the charade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where she's like,
well, I guess at that
I've
point
been
she
inside
was
inside you.
To.
Why are you calling me by my last name?
Yeah.
We've been married. How jealous is our universe's McKay of
oh
that
my
universe's
God.
McKay?
That would be the one thing she's ever learned in her life that she would try to forget the most, like just in case she accidentally told McKay one day that in an alternate universe they were married and he was a millionaire.
And McKay just goes, so you're telling me there's a chance?
You'd leave out, oh man. You'd leave that bit out of your report, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
So how'd you get back? Oh, I just met some bloke I've never met before. It's like, I actually don't remember his name. Anyway, he helped me. Yeah. End of story.
All that information's redacted on Rodney's version.
Yeah.
100%. And Michelle, I did notice something for you in the audio commentary. You always have a lot of fun with the director's name sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like Carl Binderbinder.
Yes.
Andy Makita sometimes you have fun with. Well, I'd say from... The context clues is I think they have fun with that on set as well, because as they're wrapping up the episode, Amanda Tapping called Annie Makita Akuna Makata.
What?
She's like, oh, thanks for going, Akuna Makata. So I'm assuming that's what he must be called on set.
What a wonderful phrase.
Get into Gate, Stargate podcast. Get into it now before it's too late.